And welcome to our show, Geeks Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And I'm your host, Bill, and this week we have Steven.
Howdy, y'all.
And Anthony.
Hello.
And you can give us a voicemail or text us at our phone number at 801-896-4335 or 801-896-GEEK. Or you can email us at geekswired@gmail.com. And you can support us at patreon.com/geekswired, where you get the podcast early, and also help support to pay the bills.
And Bill will read your stuff.
Yes.
He loves to read it, and he'll even read it on the air.
If you want.
If you ask. Nicely.
Yeah. But I will read them.
Yeah.
I promise. And this week is, because it is after Christmas, but and maybe even after New Year, and all the vacations and everything, this is less topical and more general because there's the year in review, so we get to talk about all of the with our the shows we liked over the year that we did well, apps that were went well, games that were well.
Yes, games, animes, and yes. Apps.
So Anthony has been very antsy about this, so we'll let him start off with his topic.
Animes.
Yes. The shows.
Just this year?
Just, well, you want all of the animes or you just want this year's animes?
This year's. Let's do this year's.
The top, or okay, should we come fine. Back to you now?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Even if they're old, if you watched them this year, still good.
Oh, there you go. Why not?
How many do you want? Okay, let's just...
I'll just talk.
If you ever want, like, an anime that you just want to cry a lot on, and it's, like, super beautiful... Like, the animation and everything is beautiful. Violet Evergarden, would recommend that one.
Totally. I also recommend Violet Evergarden. It's a beautiful story.
If you want something where it's just like a bunch of gore and you just don't like goblins, Goblin Slayer was a good one, too.
Goblin Slayer is intense.
Other ones, The Shield Hero, was The Rising of the Shield Hero was one I really liked.
Yeah, that had a great story.
Yeah, it has a good story. It has, like, a good, like, just a lot of surprising moments. And it's, like, kind of starts off grungy and then... Grungy, is that the right word? Whatever. And then it gets kind of, like, gives you a good feeling, basically.
Yeah, and they had great characters. All the characters in that were awesome. And that the action was sweet. The storyline was great. They did an awesome job on Shield Hero. That was probably one of my favorites that I saw this year as well.
Oh, and then I have like one or two more. Overlord's really good. If you like reading books, the light novels for that one are really good. They're like some of the most high quality books I've ever like physically held. They're just super good.
Overlord. They have like What's really the premise thick pages. Of Overlord? Because I have that
so,
in my queue, but I haven't
okay,
watched
yeah.
it.
All so Overlord is like you know the whole the game of the in animes. There's a lot of animes that are about like you're stuck in a video game world.
Yeah, like Shield
so
Heroes.
It's kind
like
of
that.
Shield Heroes like that. But
Sword Art Online.
With
like
Overlord,
kind of.
It basically starts off with he's a player in a one of those VR games where they're actually like sucked in, like not sucked in, but they're like completely comatose while they're in the game.
Oh, okay, so they're like plugged into the Matrix.
Yeah, it's like that, and so he's in there on like the last night the world's actually up because they're gonna shut it down after that, and then he like falls asleep. And when he wakes up, like, everything, like, all the game stuff is gone. Okay. And he's just thrown into this new world. And he's super OP. Like, very OP.
I like OP characters. Like are we talking, like, One Punch Man OP or, like, Goku OP?
Probably more. I would say One Punch Man.
Okay.
Like, so he could, like, if he wanted OP. To, he could just, like, kill everyone.
Okay.
But
so, like, Psyche K OP.
Yeah, kind of. Not maybe not quite that OP, but close. And then just to round it off, another one that was good is I gotta find it. I have a lot on my list.
Sorry, I made you narrow it down the last second.
Yeah, you did. I was gonna like talk about this for like 2 hours.
Wow.
Oh, that time I got reincarnated as a slime. One of my good films too. It's really like the slime is OP. Like it's just one of those main characters. It's just straight up OP. But it's OP in, like, a good way. Like, it's not like they just want to, like, wreck the world and, like, get all the power and everything. It's, like, a wholesome OP, I guess.
Okay.
Like, have you seen it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah, I really like it. And I don't know how else to describe it. It's funny, too. I like how funny it is.
Yeah, it's very funny.
The premise is just, like, off the wall, which is cool, but they make a really good story along with it.
All right, and then last one. So, Sword Art, the first, like, two seasons were, like, the first one, they're stuck in the game trying to beat it. The second one had to do with guns and stuff like that. So, it was kind
of... first half of the second season. First half of the second... Okay, so the seasons kind of feel like two seasons of them.
Those are arcs.
Yeah. The first half of the first season, they're stuck online. The second half of the first season is the fairies. The first half of the second season is Gun Gala.
Yeah.
The second half of the second season is using this technology for external, for additional people, like people that can't, that are stuck in beds or that are almost.
That was actually like the last half of the second half.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the first half of the second half was.
The first half of the second season. Was Gun Gala.
No. That was the first half of the second season.
Yes.
I'm saying the first half of the second season.
They were playing the fairy one and they met people. So they were kind of, it was a lot of the fairy stuff and they were.
Oh, and then Escalibur was thrown in there somewhere, too.
Yeah, that's how they ended up meeting the people outside more.
Right, okay. So the third one is, like, one of the most, like, well, like, thought-out arcs that the artist who wrote it has ever had. It's the Recollection, I think is what they call it. But basically, he's, again, stuck in a game world, but for different reasons. And, like, they're trying to reconstruct his brain because he got attacked and was brain dead for 5 minutes. So anyways, I really like that one because it's just super well thought out, and like inside of this, when he's stuck in this, the time is accelerated, and so like even though he's only been in there for like a week or two, it's been like 2.5 years
of
inside of that game world.
What is your season 3?
Oh, it's Alicization.
Okay, I was like, you say that word, I can't.
Oh, shoot. That was season 3 and season... So they're on season 4 right now.
No, are they on season 4 or are they on the second half of season 3?
So on this one, it was like... This is one big arc. They've split it up into at least two seasons.
Oh.
Season 4 was where I find... Like, I was reading the light novel up to the end of season 3. Season 4, like the first episode, after that, I don't know what's going on. Like, I didn't know what was going on because I hadn't read past that point because that's when the translation stopped. But, yeah, it was neat. Fun. And of notables, since Bill's doing technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. I have only watched the first season of Sword Art Online, but I really liked it.
Okay, so if you really liked it, you'd probably still like the others. The third and fourth one are just, like, above... Like, it's... Like my favorite, like one of my favorite animes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really need to get into those. My problem is, and I know that this is probably not a popular opinion, but I watch dubbed anime. So I subscribe to Funimation because they have the most that I've found.
Filthy
and
casual.
But you know what? There's been some dubs that I've read reviews on that people were like, wow, I'm really glad I gave this show another shot because the dub is actually a lot better than the subtitle. Now, they're not always so, you know what I mean? But like Psyche K, I can't watch because I can't read that fast. And sometimes like I got to read a lot for work and just constantly reading.
Oh, when yeah, I go home you, at you the gotta, end of the day, like, I just sometimes, but
I just don't want to. I just don't want to read. So I just, you know, do the dub.
We're going to take a pause.
Good. We're back.
Yeah. Okay. So this is an old one. Neon Genesis Evangelion. I can't ever say that name right. I'm really bad with words. Anyways, it's good. The last half is like disturbing. It like gets into a weird. It
goes so deep. So I started watching this anime when I was in fifth grade, and a lot of the concepts like really went over my head. But still, Evangelion is probably, if I had to say a favorite anime of all time, it would be that one. Just because it's just so intense and so crazy with the symbolism and all kinds of stuff. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did you ever watch the movies?
Yes. Okay. I didn't like the movies as much as I liked the series.
There's one movie where it's like basically the last two or three episodes, but from a different, from the other, like
a different perspective,
where he went in like the opposite direction.
Right.
And it gets kind of disturbing weird and sick.
Yeah. So my favorite animes are really, I like a lot of raunchy animes. So, Prison School is one of my favorites as well. And I've heard that Prison School dubbed was better than the subtitled one.
Hmm.
And I've heard that my first girlfriend is a gal is insanely better dubbed than it was subtitled. I can't remember the anime reviewer that I watched. I wish I did, because I'd give him a shout out, because it was cool that, because he was one that watches subtitles only. And then his friend was like, you didn't like that anime? That anime was hilarious. And then he was like, well, how did you watch it? And it's like subtitled. And he told him to watch it dubbed. And then when he watched it dubbed again, he said, oh my God, this was an amazing anime. And none of this stuff came through on the translation.
Yeah, it depends on, it really depends on how well they translated it.
Yep.
If they didn't, like, if there's like some jokes that only make sense.
Yes.
In Japanese or whatever language it was originally from, and they just directly translate it.
Yep.
It doesn't really end up that way. Like, there's some weird, like, jokes about, like, taco, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to translate that and just leave the word taco there, would make no sense.
Yeah.
It would get lost in translation, like, literally.
Absolutely. And so, like, those were two examples for sure that I could say that, you know, for the American audience anyway, the dubbed made it better.
You haven't been on it long enough. Anthony knows this a lot. Because I don't want to fully pay attention to this. It takes a lot of effort to watch subtitled, so I usually all for the dubbed.
Uh-huh.
Because I can, you know, I don't have to read, I don't have to stare at the pictures, I don't have to have everything all in this at once, so yep. I like my dubbed.
I do too.
And one of them that, I'm just trying to hunt it down, that I ended up really liking was the, based off of World War One.
Tanya.
Is it Tanya the Evil?
Yeah, Tanya the Evil.
Oh, so that was a good one, huh?
Saga of Tanya the Evil, yeah. It's pretty good. It's not like...
But it's better...
Probably my like top 15.
Dubbed, because there was a line that came out, and I was like, that was great.
I don't know how I watched it.
And somebody showed what the subtitle was, and I was like, that does not come across. Like, what she says and the way they're feeling is definitely what they put in the English version is way better and comes across a lot better.
Our audience, yeah.
Well, I even think with even the subtitle, like the words that she said and the emotions they're showing don't seem like they match up quite as well.
Yeah, and that's what, my first girlfriend is a gal. That's what that guy was saying, too. He said that there was a lot of, you know, kind of fart jokes that you would get if you knew a little bit more about American pop culture, and they threw those in there because it would be appropriate at that time, and that made it like a more enjoyable experience. Mm. So I could totally see what you're saying, how that subtitles doesn't match up to the scene and the feeling of a scene. And then you get the dub and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that's perfect. Yeah. That's exactly how it should be. No, I totally get that. And it sucks for me. And for guys like us that like the dub, because it takes a while for them to get out.
Oh, I'm like, not caught up on Sword Art because of that.
Yeah,
season 3 still isn't dubbed.
I thought they just started.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. I would wait for the dub. Like, one of my favorite animes that I discovered this year was Food Wars. Have you guys watched Food Wars?
No, but I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, so Food Wars is an awesome anime. You know, out of all my subscriptions that I pay for, so, you know, like the Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, all that stuff, the one that I would keep if, like, for some reason, you know, I didn't have money to pay for them and I could only keep one, the one that I would keep would be my Funimation one. Because when somebody says, I don't like anime, I don't think that exists. I think that just means that you haven't watched enough, that you haven't found one that you like, or a type,
or a genre.
Like.
Yeah,
yeah. There's so many genres.
Well, they might not like cartoons, but even if with that, there's still like, oh, there's a couple of them. Because like anime is saying like, I don't like movies.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You can not like movies. That's totally that can happen. Right. I totally get that. But yeah, there's just anime is just a way that this art form is
it's an art form. And it's just so diverse that, like I said, I just feel like, you know, you haven't watched the right one if you say you don't like anime.
Yeah. There's ones where they're sad. There's ones where it's
There's romance. Yeah, there's drama, comedy. Yeah. There's raunchy. There's brutal. There's all kinds of kinds. And then they have, you know, of course, the Japanese names for each genre as well. But Food Wars was one that really surprised me because I love cooking shows and I love, you know, cooking competitions.
Oh, is that what that is?
You know what I mean? And it's like, wow, they did an anime about food and competitions and the way that they describe the food and the over the top things that they do with the food and still keeping it realistic because these are dishes that you can actually make.
Oh, nice.
And it's just incredible. And I loved that. I was just like, wow, this is such a different kind of anime. It's just so cool. I mean, of course you've got your tropes, you know what I mean? You've got your big breasted women, you've got your, you know, sexual innuendos that are thrown in there, and you've got the comedy aspect of it, but you've also got this, and you've got, you know, everybody's in high school. This is like a crazy supreme elite cooking high school that, you know, only the top chefs in the world can come to the school, of course. But then you've got like a seriousness to it on how they're, you know, trying to be better chefs, and they've got like different niches. Like there's like a character in the second season that does molecular gastronomy, and then there's somebody that relies solely on their sense of smell and just all these cool things that I was like, wow, this is so original that I'm so glad it's doing well, because they had one season and then they had the second season, second plate. Those two seasons are dubbed, but there's a third season out and there's a fourth season currently coming out, and I'm just happy that it got popular, popular.
So what's curious is that the first season has 24, second season has 13, third season has 24, fourth season has 12.
Yeah.
It's just like they flip-flop.
Yeah, it's almost like in the beginning they almost tried to make it one of those one-shots, you know, where they only have a 24-episode arc and then it ends, like a lot of anime does.
And that might have been what happened with Sword Art, which also season 3. The first two were huge. And then you're saying the third one short.
The third one, no.
It wasn't short? It was the 24?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I think. Well, making me doubt myself.
It was dubbed, started being dubbed back in February. I'll have to go hunt it down
now. The reason why Sword Art, like, there was a big gap between 2 and 3 was because I'm pretty sure they were waiting for more material to be made. Just like how Attack on Titan had, like, 6 to 7 years in the middle.
Because these were, like, little short... Or these were stories that he'd written and threw out online, and he had done for a competition. Yeah. So there was all sorts of stuff that was behind all
that. The light novels were starting to come out around the time that it was being
created. Okay, so this one's not the one... the other one is the one he went to jail, right?
The Log Horizon?
Yeah, Log Horizon is where he went to jail.
That's another good one. Another good one where they're stuck in a video game, but for different reasons. I think it's closer to Overlord, like the concept of Overlord at least. Except for there's more of them.
And I do enjoy the Log Horizon Sword Art. I did get into Overlord a little bit.
I need to watch Overlord. I want to watch Overlord. Yeah.
So I like that style with the video game and almost the almost Matrix-y style.
Mm-hmm. What about Netflix's Seven Deadly Sins? Did you guys watch that one?
I didn't watch that.
Yeah. I really liked that one. That was another. Well, okay, let me take that kind of back, because I really enjoyed the first season, and then the second season they did a few things that I feel like had been done before that never worked, and they don't work in it as well. But it was still overall a good one, and they also have a movie on Netflix. So that one's only, I think you can only watch that one on Netflix. But it was really good. I liked it a lot. But, you know, if I had any recommendations for somebody for watching anime, probably at the top of my list, I would say Food Wars and Prison School. And I would say Evangelion, but that might be just a little too weird for some people.
Yeah.
And then definitely Sword Art Online. Those are cool. The Ancient Magus Bride, for sure. That one came out in 2018, but... I got into it this year, and that was a insanely amazing anime.
Right. What?
So, Anthony, what are your recommendations?
For anime?
I went through a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, so all those were
that was what we opened chunk. With. Oh,
okay. He limited it himself.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, because I could go on and on. Like, if you look at my TV time show list, yeah. I'm like, once you start like from like 3 years, 3 or 4 years ago, everything from there and on, like, probably 80-90% of it's anime.
Yep. No, I'm the same way. That's why I said like I couldn't give up my Funimation subscription, just because even if I didn't have Netflix and Hulu and all that, I could find something on there. I'm just a positive, and they have so much, and they have I think they have the largest collection of dubbed. So
my what's funny to me is that I got rid of my Funimation, and ever since then, like, I've had Crunchyroll just subscribed to, and I have never canceled it.
So that's something I enjoy Funimation, because Crunchyroll and Funimation were supposed to work together, and they were supposed to, like, oh, we'll put more dubbed and more subbed on each other, and they didn't.
Right.
They just, I was like, I'm out, and I'll admit, Funimation, they have it enough, you know, dubbed. I can, like, hey, I'm in on this, and I got Tanya the Evil.
Yeah.
So
I'll have to go look at that one, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Does VRV have Funimation on there, or is it just Crunchyroll?
It's only Crunchyroll. They used to have Funimation, and they got rid of it. Mm. I was really sad, because I even subscribed to VRV. VRV?
Yeah, it's Verve. VRV. I'm pretty sure it's VRV. Like, they have
a lot.
They used to have Rooster Teeth on there as well, like Rooster Teeth First, but I don't know if they do anymore. Rooster Teeth First upped their prices, so I would be surprised if they did.
Because
it used to be like 10. Or it used to be 5, but I think it's like 8 or 10 now.
I gotta see, because then they have quite a few. I think I looked at them. There's Boomerang, Cartoon Hangover, Crunchyroll.
Oh, they do still have Rooster Teeth on there.
Okay. So I guess that wouldn't be bad, because I'm currently subscribed to Rooster Teeth
to watch Ruby.
Yes, and
Ruby.
So I'm caught up on Ruby.
I haven't watched the last season yet.
I ended up watching.
So with Ruby, I was kind of sad that they didn't have the premiere like they did last year. Because last year for season 6, they actually had the first episode premiere in like legit theaters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was fun.
In the theater.
I forgot. Actually, that was like the first 2, wasn't it?
Huh?
It was like it was an hour and a half long.
It was only the first one, but they had like
a recap of
the first 2 episodes, the last 2 episodes of 5.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool that they did that.
Yeah, it was really cool. They didn't have like the opening scene though, and like at the end of the people in there were like, but where's the opening?
So with Ruby, I was so far behind with this season. I ran through the free stuff, and it was fine. And then I ended up subscribing strictly for Genlock.
Oh, really? Do you like Genlock?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Michael B. Jordan is the main producer and the main voice behind it.
Who is?
Michael B. Jordan.
Oh.
He played Johnny Flame in the newest Fantastic Four. He plays
Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Son.
So, yeah.
Creed.
In Black Panther?
Oh, or he played...
Yeah, he played the bad guy in Black Panther.
That's right.
Yeah. But Genlock is only available. It was completely locked down. The only way to watch that one was... You could watch the first episode for free, and the rest of them were all locked up. And this show has been done since August. So it's been out, and they kept it under lock. And I'm like, okay, I like the first episode. I really want to keep watching it, so I got into it. Worth it. It was absolutely worth it. I'm like,
that's awesome.
I'm probably going to have a second month of Rooster Teeth paid for. I'm not worried. I ended up getting into The Nomad of Nowhere.
Oh, man. There's only...
Yeah, there's only one season. It is...
No, what I was saying is there's only like one, like, as far as I know, like one Rooster Teeth employee on there. Lindsay's the only one that's on that cast list.
Oh, for Genlock?
Yeah, for Genlock. I was just curious if there was like...
No, that has what's your name? Sansa Stark? I forgot her name.
Oh, Maisie. Macy? Macy Williams?
Yeah. She's one of the voices on it.
She is, actually.
It has David Tennant.
She's the bunny.
It has David Tennant.
Wow.
Yeah, she's also... Maisy Williams is also... If you watched Doctor Who a couple years ago, she is the immortal girl.
Very cool.
Yes. She has her own TARDIS, which is a diner. It's stuck as a diner. Or at least they have it as... I don't know if it's stuck as a diner, but they have it as a diner.
That's cool.
Like an old 60s diner. 50s, 60s diner.
That's sweet.
So you like Nomad?
Yes.
So have you watched Camp Camp?
No.
Because I think I watched a couple episodes of it, and it was okay, but I couldn't really get into it.
I think that's... I saw the previews for it, and I kind of was like that. I was like, huh.
Yeah, like, it's funny, but it's also kind of like... I don't know.
I think I've been enjoying, like, the Nomad of Nowhere.
Yeah, I haven't... Like, I know what it is, but I don't know anything about it.
I am, like, halfway through the season right now. I don't even know what episode I'm on. I'm over half. I only have a few episodes left.
How many seasons of that did they do?
They've only done one. It is last year. So it actually came out, it started in March of last year and ended in September. Well, they released that like once a month, maybe a couple times a month. But they had a break. I don't know. You have like three more episodes left. It's enjoyable. Well, I guess I'll see how the final episode, but Genlock, they need to do a second season.
I think they will.
It honestly depends on Michael B. Jordan and a lot of them, because they got some big names in that show.
Those guys are busy.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
So
yeah, I had no idea that Macy Williams was the bunny character.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'll have to check that out.
Because she was kind of fun.
So with that, I recommend either BRB or I guess you could do Rooster Teeth directly.
Yeah.
But that's like that one. It is a only through paid subscription. So
cool.
Maybe when you're switching around your subscriptions.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
And then, have you watched Ruby at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, because the first like four or five seasons of Ruby is on YouTube still, I think.
Oh, cool.
Unless they took it down, it used to be for a long time.
I don't know.
Wasn't it on Netflix for a while too?
It was. It's not there anymore though.
Oh, bummer.
The license. Got.
All I know from Ruby are the characters from
Ruby
that are in
you might
cross
be able
tag
to,
battle
because Blaze they have a thing where you can watch, like they just include all the episodes into one, so uh-huh. It's like a movie. Because if you cram them all together, it's like I think it's like a 2-hour movie.
Oh wow,
because they're not very long episodes, especially the first season. But it's neat. I really like it.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. All right, guys.
That is also one of my favorites.
What do you say we talk about some video games?
I guess.
Okay.
You don't want to make this go to 30 minutes worth of anime?
Pretty close.
Are we at 30 minutes? Almost
30
minutes?
We're at 27 minutes? And 20 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
20 seconds.
I'm down with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah? He's got to get three more minutes.
Yeah, let's
see.
You wanted to look at more Genlock, so.
Well, there was more Genlock, but I got to think if there was any other. Let me see if there was anything that came. That is in my TV show or TV time.
Oh, you know what else is another good anime that I got into as well? Is a show called Dagashihashi. And that is another like crazy.
That sounds familiar.
Concept, because it's all about like Japanese junk food.
Never mind.
And they go into like the history behind like some of these Japanese treats. And
this is funny watching trying to
junk food.
Watch Bill trying to spell it.
And it is Dagashi. And it's like
you had a 50-50 chance and you lost.
It's like a kid that like works in like a convenience store that his family owns, and like they sell like these, you know, penny candies basically, but they're Japanese. It actually sparked me to buy a box of it from Amazon. Like you can get a box of 50 or 100 assorted Dagashi from Japan, and I actually got all these.
Right.
And it was so fun, like watching the show and then eating the same things that they're talking about.
Nice.
But I thought it was like, man, that's crazy.
A couple of those, like the burnt rice ones, or have you ever had the, like the little hard candies?
I mean, I've had so many.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? I don't.
I've had so few, I guess. I know what you like.
The ones that stand out the biggest to me are like Umaibo, which I guess translates to like tasty stick. And it's basically a giant like corn puff treat, like almost like a giant Cheeto, like a Cheeto puff thing.
Yeah, like
and
the
it's
pokies?
In a cylinder. No, those are like hard, but these are like a cylinder of like, but they're a flavored. And the three flavors that I just fell in love with were Sugar Rusk, which is just amazing. There's a takoyaki one, which is those octopus balls that you can buy at Japanese restaurants. And there was a corn chowder one, which was just out of this world. They were just so good.
Wow.
Yeah, those. But yeah, check out Dagashihashi because it's fun. They kind of the first season is great because they're full like 20-25 minute episodes. But then the second season, it's almost like they went back to their comic roots because, you know, they all start in manga.
Yeah.
But they're like 10 minutes long. But they're not really because the opening takes like 3 minutes. You know what I mean? And it's like there's just barely any. And I'm just like, man, just combine those
So it's like,
so
Ruby.
That'll be the biggest thing. I also dislike a lot about a lot of animations that I've watched. Is if you're paying enough, and even actually Amazon even did this with what's it, their Good and Evil show.
Oh, the Bad Omen. Or
yeah,
whatever?
If you pay enough attention,
or Good Omen.
Yeah, Good Omen. If you pay enough attention, the intro spoils the season.
Oh man.
And also the other thing is, I've definitely gotten used to Netflix and just skip intro.
Yep.
Like I like the song, I like the whatever else, but there's very few that I'm like, I must listen to the intro
every time.
Yeah. The 90s Batman cartoon.
Yep.
What's the
The Simpsons.
Jeez, that must be weird. There's like most animes, I won't skip it.
Ruby, I'm skipping it every week. Every time I watch it, I'm like, minute 30, done. Skip it. And because they have a terrible skipping system after you cast it.
Oh.
Let's see. Trigun was pretty good. And
Trigun's awesome.
What was the Cowboy Bebop?
Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah,
you know what?
Just Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop is one that I... Cowboy Bebop, Evangelion.
Yeah.
Evangelion for the intro and the ending.
Yeah.
I'll watch it through. But Cowboy Bebop for the same reason. Mm-hmm. That's just such a quick and easy one to watch, and it's like, it makes it, you know.
I've tried a few times to hunt down this song so I can just like add it to a list of, yep, like, I like to listen to this song.
No, totally.
Have you found it?
I must not have, my Google skills must not have been good enough, or my YouTube skills. I usually like about once every couple of years, I'm like, oh, I should probably look this up, and I usually give up after a bit.
Yeah.
The series finale song for the whatever, the blues song, the final song,
yep,
for this,
yep,
the show. Yeah.
For that, Cowboy Bebop?
Yes.
Totally.
One of my favorite is from that show is Jupiter Blues, I think it was what it was.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of jazz and saxophone in it.
It's
really
a cool,
like saxophone.
They had good music in that one. That's one that I won't skip. There's not many anime ones that I like the song, like you said, Bill, but ultimately, like, after, if I'm going to sit there and watch 10 episodes in a row, I'll skip it after a while. Mm.
Okay, that's fair.
But, like, Evangelion, I'll listen to the intro and the end, and then the old Slayers anime, I used to listen to the intro and the ending to that, just because,
yeah,
I don't know, back then when I was younger, it was kind of like, whoa, it's in Japanese and it sounds so cool,
yeah,
I don't know what they're saying, but it's cool, you know.
And Ruby will even change what they show episode to episode, so there is, you know, it may spoil the episode, but not the season.
Uh-huh.
And the exit, though, the music's so-so, but they show, it's kind of like with Mandalorian, they show the art.
Right.
They show the creation of these things, and I'm like, this is kind of cool. I get to look at the behind the scenes type of thing just for a few minutes.
Interesting. Yeah, that's cool. Anime's sweet.
All right, we got the 30 minutes.
Right,
we got well above that.
30 minutes
now.
Sweet, sweet.
I guess we
anime.
Can talk about games.
Yes, games.
Yeah, games of 2019.
Yes. So, Steven.
Yo.
You started it.
All right, let's do it. So, I played a lot of games this year. I did a lot of traveling, so I played a lot on my Switch. I still played on my PS4. Some of my highlights. My number one game of the year was Fire Emblem Three Houses on the Switch. I just loved that game. I think it's probably my favorite game of all time. And I know people look at me sometimes weird because they see like that I play such a variety of games. But that game I've played so much. Like, just a ridiculous amount. And it's one of those games that I typically don't beat a game multiple times, but this is one that I will.
Sure.
Like, I beat it once, and I'm already three quarters of the way through my second playthrough, and
wow,
I already have a plan for my third playthrough. So, yeah.
Wow.
So that sounds like Dark Souls to me.
It's, no, it's a tactical RPG.
I know. What I meant by that was, sorry.
Playing those types of games?
Yeah, basically you have, like, you beat the game, and then if you don't decide to go for New Game Plus, you have a thought of how you do your next playthrough.
Yep, absolutely.
Either on New Game Plus or just with a new game character completely.
That's exactly how I've done it with Three Houses. Like, it's a tactical RPG, so it's one of those ones where you're just, like, on a board and you're moving units and then, you know, attacking other units. So it's one of those. So if you're not into those, you won't be into this. But the first time you play it through, you choose like a school. There's three houses. You know what I mean? There's three. And they each excel at something. Like there's the Black Eagles that excel at magic. There's the Blue Lions that are just an all-around good group. And then there's the yellow deer or golden deer that are predominantly archers. So, like, through my first playthrough, I looked at, like, oh, man, I like these units and stuff. So on my second playthrough, I decided to do, like, an entire squad based around my favorite unit, which was the archers that are on horseback, the bow knights. And so, like, it's just so cool that you can, like, kind of do that with it. And it's like, oh, man, look at how much I'm wrecking with these guys. Like, sweet, you know what I mean? And then my third playthrough, I already have. So I chose the Blue Lions, the first group, and then the second group, I'm the Golden Deer, and the third, I'll do the Black Eagles, and then I'm going to just do an all magic crew of people. But it still, like, held my attention that much to where I'm okay with, you know, putting that many hours, and I've got, like, 90 hours into it. And so that's my number one game of this year. But other ones that I played that I really liked were Sekiro, of course, because I'm a huge Dark Souls fan. I played and beat all of them, the way Demon Souls, Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3. And my favorite of those, Sekiro is not my favorite of them. I like Bloodborne the best, but it was an awesome game. The other game was that I it's, wanted so to
it
say
has ahead. Nothing to do with Dark Souls.
Oh, I was like,
it's just Dark Souls like Dark Souls.
Yeah. So Sekiro is still made by From Software.
Yeah,
it's still made by those guys, and it's like a ninja one where the combat's a little bit different, but
Sekiro.
And so, Bill's trying to type it into the Google.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a change, but it was a welcome change. It's still a great game. The one game that I thought that was, I didn't play it a lot, but I really respected it, was Tetris 99.
Interesting.
Just because I think it's so cool that you can just hop online and you're competing with 100 other people. You know what I mean? And I think that's so fun, that concept. And you can see them all playing in the background. Mm. So, and I just think that's so cool.
Have people proven that it's actually, like, legit people? Because with Mario Kart, like, for mobile, it looks like they're real people, but you can tell they're not.
Yeah, I don't know, honestly, with Tetris 99. I know that when it first came out, it was probably definitely 100% people.
Steam gave away a free year of the Nintendo Plus membership.
Oh, yeah,
so I'm betting a lot more people have hopped onto this.
Yeah, it's really a cool game if you like Tetris, for sure. I really enjoyed the Resident Evil 2 remake. I thought that was a really good remake of an already awesome game. That kind of showed me that, wow, when you really want to remake something good, you could do it. And I know that the Resident Evil franchise in general has kind of been up and down, especially after Resident Evil 6, which I personally liked. Just it had a lot of content to it, and I liked that about it. But I understood people's gripes about it. But Resident Evil 2 kind of really went back to its roots of survival horror. And Resident Evil 7, you know, before it, was a really good game as well. And that kind of got people more interested in it. And then they gave you this awesome remake of, like, one of the favorites. You know, to me, the best Resident Evil game of all time is Resident Evil 4. But it also has Leon Kennedy, and, like, to play as Leon Kennedy again in a, you know, more 3D free kind of control style, and basically playing Resident Evil 2 like Resident Evil 4, it was amazing. So, and I sat down and beat that game in, like, two sittings. I just couldn't stop. It was really good. The other one that I kind of wanted to give a shout out to was I don't know if it's a super popular game, because it wasn't like a AAA title, but it was Remnant from the Ashes, and it's like Dark Souls, but with guns. And me and my friends would get together online and, you know, in our 3-person group, and it's just a blast to play that game. And it truly is, like, very difficult, like Dark Souls, but you're using guns, and it was just really kind of cool. And, you know, it was kind of like one of those sleeper hits, I feel like, because I think it got really good reviews. And when I picked it up, I was like, this is amazing. So I had fond memories of that. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, is it kind of like how Dark Souls was kind of like an immediate success, even though no one really knew about it till it came out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to guess it, that's how it was. Cause I know a lot of people that have played it and they were just super into it, and it's really fun. It's got all kinds of fun stuff to do in it, and it's hard, man. That game is really, really hard. We've, you know, my three-player squad has fought bosses over and over and over and over and over again, and it's just like the difficulty's there for sure. The other one that's, you know, it feels like this year was like the year for those Dark Souls clones, really. I mean, there's so many that came out, and they're all, you know, in their own right, pretty good. Jedi Fallen Order falls under that category. So that's the new Star Wars game, and it is basically a Dark Souls Star Wars game, and it's incredible. Now, the difficulty of Jedi Fallen Order, I don't feel like is up there with Dark Souls, but that's okay. Do you know what I mean? It's completely fine to me. To me, I don't play Dark Souls and those games for the difficulty. I know they are difficult, and it, you know, that is kind of a draw. Not really, because I like easier games. I like a game that I can just sit down and beat.
So that kind of touches on a weird thing for me. Like, Dark Souls, I remember really liking because it was hard.
Uh-huh.
And I just, it was fun, like, going into, like, turning a corner and literally dying.
Yeah.
But now a new game, like, a game similar to that, like, I can't get into it.
Yeah.
Like, if it's hard, I give up. Like, not necessarily hard, but, like, if it's just unforgivingly hard.
Right, right.
It's just not fun anymore. So I don't know how that's changed, like.
So that's a good segue, because Jedi Fallen Order is very Dark Soul-esque for sure, like hands down. I mean, they take so much from it, from like the map design to the combat. I'd say it's like Dark Souls and Sekiro together, because there's a lot of emphasis on defense as well. Whereas like in Dark Souls, it's more about offense. I feel like Bloodborne is like 100% offense. Dark Souls kind of goes back and forth, but Sekiro is like, I feel like, all about defense. Jedi Fallen Order is another one of those that's a really good mix between the two. But as far as difficulty goes, I know that these aren't accessible games to people because sometimes they can be difficult. And I feel like EA, and you know, it's funny because it's like blasphemy to say this, but they actually produced something really good here, because they figured out how to make one of these games and then make it accessible, because there's actually a difficulty setting on it. Now, it doesn't, to my knowledge, it doesn't change the game in any way, except for you deal more damage and enemies deal less damage to you, which I really like. So you can, you know, have more swings of your sword and not get worried about, you know, getting one-shotted by a boss. And I think that makes it way accessible. And I think that future Dark Souls clones are going to utilize that, because I feel like they did it really well. Like, if you want it to be hard, crank up the difficulty. You know what I mean? If you want to, you know, if you want your combat to have to be perfect and, you know, punishing, crank up the difficulty, and you'll get that. Jedi.
The Witcher 3 kind of like that too.
Like,
it had a difficulty rating where you set it to easy if you wanted, like, the storyline, basically.
Right.
Then you had normal where it was at played as intended, and then you had hard where it was harder.
Right. And I think that's probably true.
Okay.
I played The Witcher 3 a lot, but I just played it on normal.
Mm-hmm.
And but I bet it was similar, because I don't think that, you know, with a game that big, you just can't reprogram it to have less enemies and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So they've just got to have it scaled. So, oh, you want it on easy so you get the story? Well, then these goblins are only going to take a couple swipes of your sword before they're dead, which I think that's good. Do you know what I mean? I think you'll sell more copies that way. And I'm not trying to take away from anybody, because like I said, I beat all the Dark Souls and Bloodborne and all that, and I enjoyed the difficulty. But at the same time, like, I respect a company that wants to get those types of games into more hands.
Yeah. So it also, looking into it, was based inspired by Batman Arkham Asylum.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there a lot of the playthrough and then go back and play through again to unlock the areas that were locked before?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a big debate, and even me and my roommate have talked about it, you know, whether Dark Souls is a Metroidvania game. And, you know, some people say yes, some people say no. They're like, no, it's not in 2D, but it still is like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Jedi Fallen Order is more like that, because you can only access certain areas when you have a certain power or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Or a certain upgrade. So I feel like, yeah, it is like that, because I've done a lot of backtracking. And they have a neat map system that tells you, like, right off the bat, this is a red, you don't have the power up. And then it turns, you know, blue or green or something when you do have the power up.
Oh, nice.
So that you know, like, oh, I can go into that locked door finally and whatever, you know. And, you know, it's a fantastic game. And I'd almost say that it's the best Star Wars game that I've ever played.
Nice.
With the exceptions being Knights of the Old Republic RPGs. So it was a really, really pleasant surprise.
So with also Star Wars, especially now that Disney has it, everything that comes out is canon.
Absolutely.
So this is 5 years after Order 66.
Yep.
What do you think of it?
Oh, man. So that's the other thing. Okay, so a good Star Wars game doesn't necessarily just come down to the gameplay, because, you know, the Force Unleashed 2, I didn't think was that great of a game, but the Force Unleashed 1 was amazing because it had the story and the gameplay. So this has a great story.
Nice.
Like that, more stories can be told from it, and you'll see recognizable characters, and you know, you could easily Disney could easily do something more with that game for sure.
And, well, this is also during the same time period as Rebels, Mandalorian, actually. So these, all these like other things, all these shows, and even some of the comics are actually all mixing in at this time period.
Yep, and I wouldn't doubt that. Like, and I'm sure they're going to do a sequel to this because it was such a great game. But I wouldn't doubt that you'll see some other media that displays the characters that you see in Fallen Order.
And the other nice thing about this one, because why EA's usually gotten the bad rap about, oh, you make terrible Star Wars games, is the problem is they have to make this game. They're only given X amount of time to release it, and it has to be amazing, and they can't release any secrets that it has. Yep. Nice thing about this, new character.
Yep.
Story was brand new to them. They had their time to really build it up and keep it under wraps. Nobody was really hunting it down. Even if it would have leaked, it would have been like, oh, that's nothing to do with the new movie coming out, so just toss that to the side.
Yep. No, yeah, it was a really incredible game.
Nice.
So I played I didn't play two bad games. Well, I played one of the bad games that I thought was bad. The two bad games of this year that I thought were Kingdom Hearts 3. I just did not like what they did with it. You know, and some people loved it, some people didn't. I just didn't think it was great at all. For how long you had to wait for that game, it was just like
so
big letdown.
Did they legit not have any of the Final Fantasy characters in there at all?
Yeah, I didn't see any of them.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That was like the big thing for him, too.
Yeah.
Well, one of the big things.
Yeah, it was kind of a bummer. And the other one that I thought was... So I had these like split up into the good, and I already talked about the good. I have the good, the bad, and the ugly, and on the fence.
Yeah. So we might have to do a lightning round on some of these, because we're already...
No, the first half.
So the other one that I understood why people didn't really like was the first Pokemon on consoles, Pokemon Sword and Shield, that didn't include like every single Pokemon ever made. And I thought that was a bad move for them, because this is the first one on consoles. Consoles are supposed to be bigger, so this game should have been bigger. Mm-hmm. So, so the ugly was Anthem. I had a fun time playing it while it was out, but I respected all the bad things about it because it was really bad. But I did put a bunch of hours into it, you know, in the first month, and then it just kind of faded away. The other ugly I said was The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and I'm sure people are like, what the heck are you talking about? The game's awesome. And yes, that game is awesome, but that game was not a $60 game. That was my biggest gripe with that yeah, I did pay my $60 for it because I wanted to play it really bad, but at the end of the day, I was like, man, these remakes need to kind of like, whatever.
Well, the past, well, I don't know about with Nintendo, but other remakes have been like usually $40. Like, Spyro and Crash were 40.
Yeah, see, and if they would have had a price point like that, I have no complaints. But I was just like, dang, man, really? Because the Resident Evil 2 remake, although it was a remake, it was a completely new experience, and it, like, was completely overhauled. It was way different. If they would have made Zelda's Link Awakening in 3D, like, the Breath of the Wild style, it would have been like, whoa! But they didn't. And on the fence is Death Stranding. I love Kojima, and I love the Metal Gear series, but I can't pull the trigger on that one yet. I've seen too many mixed things about it, and I'm just kind of like, I'm sure that the story is great, and it's won all kinds of Game of the Year awards already, but I just need to see that one for myself. I'm not 100% sold on it like I thought I was going to be, because when I first heard of it, I was like, yeah, that's a day one purchase, but it turned out not to be. Mm-hmm. And the things that I'm playing right now, I'm just playing two games. I'm playing Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which is awesome. If you enjoyed Wildlands, you'll enjoy that, because I think it's pretty similar. And Code Vein, which is basically an anime Dark Souls that's absolutely incredible. So, what do you guys think about games?
So the only one I can think of that was like one of my favorite ones. It's not one that came out this year or even last year, I think, really, but Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild.
I actually went through and like I had to look it up on a lot of this, but I went through and found all the shrines and like got them all.
Yep.
I thought about doing the Karak seeds, but I gave up on that idea.
Yeah, there's so many collectibles in there. Yeah, that game is going to be... They're developing a sequel, if I'm not mistaken.
They are.
It is a direct sequel to that game, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it is, because they haven't... They've never done that with a Zelda game, I don't think.
Yeah, no. There's,
well, I think... Was Link's Awake the second...
Yeah, no, there was, like, the...
I think that was a direct sequel.
The Super Nintendo one.
A Super Nintendo?
A Link to the Past or something like
that. No, I mean the one on the NES where, like, they had the first one, just the Legend of Zelda, and then they had one... which was a side-scroller for the most part.
Yeah, the second Zelda.
I think that one was a direct sequel, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, I can't remember if that one... Because they have a weird timeline in Zelda games.
Yeah.
But they also had like a prequel to the one of the top-down ones that was on Super Nintendo, and that was the one that was on the 3DS.
So they had A Link Between Worlds, and they had A Link to the Past.
Yeah.
A Link Between Worlds is on the 3DS. Yep. And
A Link to the... So the Link Between the Two Worlds is either a sequel or a... prequel to the Link Between Time or whatever.
I think it was just a spiritual success. Like, it was a remake with a twist, I think is what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, and I liked that one. It was pretty good.
It was good, but the reason why I liked the Breath of the Wild is just that they just have so many fun, like, little quirks in it.
Yeah.
And just, like, you can just be out in the middle of the field and it's, like, it's
enjoyable.
Literally, yeah, it's enjoyable. It's one of the most, like, game, like, it's a game that I get a lot of enjoyment out of, and there's a lot of, like, there's lo-fi playlists of it. There's, like, other playlists of it where it's just, like... There's a soundtrack that I listen to called Zelda and Chill, which is just, like, lo-fi beats of Zelda, and it's just awesome.
That's awesome.
And
yeah, I really like Breath of the Wild. I still haven't beaten it yet. I've put a ton of hours into it, but it's one of those games that every time I pick it up, I enjoy it.
Yes.
And, you know, my only gripe with that was the expendable weapons that have durability, but... Even with that, I still think it's awesome.
So I was annoyed at that at first, but I don't think I came up with this myself, but someone else brought it up to me. It makes you experiment with other types of weapons that you wouldn't normally have.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have a sword. Like, you usually get the Master Sword pretty early on in a Zelda game. Not in this one, but normally you just swing a sword around or you want to swing a sword. But sometimes it breaks and you have no other weapons because your inventory is so small.
Yeah.
So you got to go find a twig or a torch somewhere, light it on fire and then just start wailing.
Yep.
Or you got to start using your bombs and like throw them. And like there are some of those monsters are smart enough that if you throw a bomb at them, they'll pick it up and throw it right back.
Yep.
And then it blows up on you instead. Like there's just a lot of like stuff that the developers really put a lot of time in, and you can tell that they liked developing it.
Absolutely. No, that was an incredible game, and it was definitely, you know, and it was a game that, you know, my roommate was telling me that they kind of took a theme, and that theme was climbing, and that was another cool thing about it,
like
you
that.
Know what I mean? Just, like, what a weird thing to add in a Zelda game that I would have never thought would have been a big deal.
Yeah, climbing, gliding, just, I think the ability to
jump.
Well, jumping too. Not very high, mind you.
Jumped. He left the ground. Both feet left ground.
Yeah,
same
both
time.
Both feet left the ground. Yeah. And that provides a lot of... Yeah, it's just... Like, it's literally... Like, I'll probably play through it again, but it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. The games that I'm most looking forward to this coming year, definitely Final Fantasy VII Remake is on the top of my list.
Is that actually finally coming out?
Yeah, on March 20th.
How much of a remake is it?
It's like a full remake in the sense that this first game, I know they call it Final Fantasy VII Remake, but if I'm not mistaken, they're making three games.
I think it's episodic, isn't it?
Yes. So they said, like, you know, the first one's going to have, you know, 40 to 60 hours of content or whatever. We'll see. Hopefully it does. But they're not, it's not going to be an end all right there from that game. This is going to be like the first of, you know, this is going to be 30% of the game that you're going to play through, but it's like a full overhaul. The battle system's completely different.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And that's, if that's why it's taken so long and it's a good change, then sure, that's fine.
Yep.
I never played the first one, like the original, but.
Yep. Yeah, I played the original. Oh, that was the other thing that really sold my roommate was that you'll actually be able to play it turn-based in classic mode. on the game. So if you like the old school, you know, where you select attack and attack instead of being the new active battle mm-hmm. system, you can actually put it like that. So already I can already tell that that will be a game that I beat twice. I'm going to beat it the first time just the way it's meant to be played, how they came out with the new action thing, mm-hmm. and then I'm just going to play it right over again where it's just the classic mode with just updated graphics.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. The other one that I'm looking forward to is by CD Projekt, the guys that did The Witcher 3, and that's Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh my goodness, that's finally coming out?
Yep, that'll be coming out in April. So you'll have Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I forgot about that.
And then you'll have Cyberpunk
2077. Did they advertise this at CES last year? Or was it this year?
They also advertised it in like 2012, and then there was nothing on it for like 6 or 7 years.
Well, they got Keanu Reeves behind it now.
Yep. Yeah, he's a character in the game.
I just remember being super excited for this game, and then crickets, like literally crickets.
Yeah, and that's what they said too, is that we're going to tell you that it's going to come out, but then we're just going to be quiet up until we're really close to releasing
it. Yeah, well, April 16th.
Yep, which is smart because anything that comes out in March is doomed because of Final Fantasy VII Remake. You know what I mean? And then the last one that I'm excited about, and I think it'll be a PS5 released title. No.
Oh, because that's supposed to be coming out soon too.
Tales of Arise. It's another in the anime RPG Tales series. Tales of Arise looks absolutely phenomenal. And I don't think it'll be on PlayStation. I'm sure they'll make a PlayStation 4 version, but I think it'll be in the early
time
of the PS5.
If it's a first-party title, I can very well see it being a...
It's not a first-party title. It's a third-party title, okay. But it still looks really good. I like all the Tales games. And this one looks freaking amazing.
Okay, going back to the first half, the animes, actually.
Uh-huh.
I forget which one I ended up watching, but I watched one of the Tales.
Yeah.
Where he's like the chosen one or something like that. He has to like
regain his power. Yeah, they have a couple. I think Tales of Zestiria is one of the
ones.
Yeah,
that one. Yeah. That one's enjoyable. I was like, oh, it's kind of like a Avatar-ish type of story. And
yep.
Oh, the Tales have nothing to do with each other, really.
No,
just individual.
They're way different. Yeah. It's almost like Zelda in that sense, except for in Tales, they're all new characters.
Yeah.
And they've had sequels,
and different
though.
Magics. Well, and even different magic systems between them, too, mm-hmm. sometimes.
Yeah. And it's always been about active combat, and it's always been anime, mm-hmm. which I like those anime RPGs, yeah. and especially when they do them good, like the Tales series.
And so what's funny is that the cartoons that are made are an advertisement for the game.
Yep.
That's why they're like a one season, one off, run through it.
And I love that, man. Like one of my favorite things, like my favorite fighting game when I was a kid was Fatal Fury.
Mm.
And one of the reasons why it was my favorite fighting game was because they had anime movies based on Fatal Fury. And I loved that. I wish Street Fighter back then, I wish I would have had access to more of it because they just didn't do that. They had a cartoon that was American that had nothing to do with the lore. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But then they did have a couple animes that were pretty good, but I didn't see those until later. But I really liked getting into the fighting games, like Blaze Blue has an anime, and mm-hmm. it's just cool to watch your characters that you fight with and stuff. You know, even my daughter, she plays Blaze Blue, and then she went and watched the Blaze Blue anime, and she's like, wow, this is so cool, because when you're playing the game, it's just two characters fighting each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then when you watch the anime, it's like you get the story, because she's not big on the story mode within the game, mm-hmm. but she just likes fighting, but then she likes watching just the show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's even with the Sword Art Online games that have been coming out, there's even one that's like, you are another character that's in this story, and I'm kind of so-so about I'm following literally the anime, but my existence is tweaking things.
Uh-huh.
And it was originally like, oh, this is kind of cool. And now I'm like, and I kind of got further into it. I'm like, I'm not sure if this can keep my attention.
Are you talking about the MMO one?
One of the MMO ones?
Yeah,
one of them. They all like pseudo MMOs, kind
of? They definitely got better as they went along. Like some of them, there's a lot of MMOs out there for mobile now.
Uh-huh.
And some are more MMO than others.
Yeah, the thing with that is like the MMO for the mobile, like it is MMO in that.
There's multiple players
that you play with, and
it's an RPG, you're building up your character and their classes and their stuff, but it's definitely like early days MMO.
I wouldn't even say that.
Or not early days. Early days RPG that happens to be online.
It was fun, and it was one of those, like, I don't like playing on my phone. So if it was on the desktop, I would probably would have went into that game hard.
You would have gotten more into it.
Because I like that game.
So in the last, like, few moments, that's my thing. It's worth the time.
No, I wasn't glaring. I was glaring at you, but I wasn't glaring at you.
About the time? It's like, whoa, it's the time. Is I'm in the mobile. And I was showing you guys. Like, I bought a little controller that my phone literally sets in. And your phone will die for it'll just burn through battery use. It has a fan. It'll overheat. I add, like, suddenly all my fingers are actually useful instead of just my thumb trying to click on everything. And I play Call of Duty on the mobile game. I'm liking that a little better in PUBG.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing Ride Out Heroes a lot more, which is like Fortnite kind of, but less building. And even more spells. Like I kind of like that one a little better. There was a mech one that I actually was playing. I think I currently got rid of it, but I bounce back and forth between them sometimes. And it was, you know, I enjoyed the mech and the jumping and the building is fun sometimes, but, you know, it's, you know, Call of Duty is my shooter, my standard general shooter.
Uh-huh.
Go to these other ones to kind of get the other ideas of games and all that. The mechs are fun because you actually run around as an individual. And then you call your mech and you jump into it and you go fight, but your mech can be destroyed, and then you're just this person running around, and you can take out the mechs individually.
Kind of like Titanfall.
Yeah, and but it's, you know, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's not too bad. Like they usually throw these things that just like these little robots that take care of the mechs for me. I'm like, you go, Gil, kill that thing, and I'm out. And they even like they start because people start like, okay, I gotta kill you. Oh, you just launched a bunch of mini mechs at me. I got to go take care of these things because they're going to kill me before I officially nail you down and kill you. And I just start running, or I start like just running backwards, lobbing these things out until my mech is ready to rebuild.
So the reason why I don't like mobile stuff is that I have neck pain problems, and I don't like if I like look down,
mm-hmm.
it stresses that all out a lot. And so that's why.
I get that. I'm not a giant mobile player myself either. I like to play things on PC or like to play things on console. But I like to play, you know, my Nintendo Switch in portable mode a lot. Yeah. So
yeah, I think I like that. That's why I like mobile. It's like, oh, I'm just going to like pull this out and play this game real quick.
Yep.
And getting the controller, I admit it, it starts moving it back towards the console
/experience. Yep.
Game, you know, PC, where I'm like, okay, now this is an event. This is I am doing this. It's not just like I'm pulling out my phone and just gonna play it quick. Like, that's the other thing. Like these, even the Fortnite games, I like the super short runs,
mm-hmm.
where they're, you know, the storm is already small,
mm-hmm.
and it's like 50 people drop in. The storm is small. You've got 5-10 minutes tops,
mm-hmm.
and you'll become number one or you'll be wiped out. Maybe the games will be shorter, but yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why, because I can, like PUBG, I can spend an hour in the game and get anywhere from first place to, well, 10th to first place, and I've spent an hour in this game.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I want to spend this much. Like a quick 10-minute game, I'm done, I'm out.
Yep, and like PUBG, a match almost, yeah. like just mm-hmm. a little match. Yeah, I totally get that. Especially, you know, people that are in college and stuff that want to study. Those are, you know, I remember when I was working with Geek Revolt, I did a article on those games that you can pick up, like what to do when you're studying. It's kind of like, all right, fighting games are good, you know, mm-hmm. you say I'm gonna play 5 matches, or Call of Duty is good because it's like I'm gonna play 2 matches and be done. But these games like Fortnite, these battle arenas, sometimes they drag out, or like Dota and what is the other one, League of Legends, like those games can take like forever.
A small tangent to that, if you like League of Legends, but you don't like the games taking forever, Heroes of the Storm was a nice one. It was by Blizzard. Mm. The games usually, the matches lasted between 10 and 15 minutes. But it's something I really like playing, but
I haven't played for like... Is Heroes of the Storm, is it free to play? Or is that one that you have to buy?
I bought it, but I think it was because I wanted to be into the closed beta.
Oh, like the founder kind of thing?
Kind of. Like, not super founder, because there were alpha players that you found every once in a while, but yeah. So I think it is free to play.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
But, yeah, it's...
Is it a faster-based kind of one of those?
Yeah, it's faster, and you don't, like... Like, with League of Legends, you collect coins, and you have to figure out what you want to buy and stuff, but with this, you're just, like... You just get ability, like you pick abilities as you level up. But I think your team level, your team level ups, not you individually.
Oh, okay.
And you don't have to go back to base to pick the levels. You just pick them right there.
I need to download that. I need to play that. I'd like to try that, actually, because I really, really liked Overwatch. And I'll definitely, you know, get Overwatch 2. But I'm just curious because, like, yeah, there is.
Is it going to have a campaign?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I'm totally excited now because the first Overwatch was supposed to have a campaign and it didn't.
The Overwatch 2 is, like, very focused on co-op more than PvP. Like, the first game was, like, all PvP. It's, like, what the game was made for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this next one seems to have a predilection towards co-op. Like, the trailer kind of shows that they're trying, they even say it, like, co-op.
It's released on November 1st. I'm way out of the loop.
So, I'm really excited for Overwatch 2. My mom actually was the one that bought me Overwatch, and I mean, this was, like, maybe 2 years after it was out, and... Because that game's pretty old, isn't it? Like 3 or 4 years old?
Yeah, I think it came out in 2016 or something.
Yeah, so I was late into it. But that was another one where I watched all the CG movies. I thought the characters looked cool. And then she bought it for me, you know, and I played a lot of it.
The lore for that game is really, really cool.
Yeah, I really, really like it. And those cinematic movies that they make are so cool. And I don't know, that I feel like more immersed when I can see them in some kind of action that's cinematic. Yeah. You know what I mean? I really do like when games do that. So when I was watching it, you know, of course you get to see the characters and you're like, man, that one's cool. I want to play as that one. You know what I mean? And then ultimately you end up settling on your play style, but it's just cool to be able to go back and watch those and be like, wow, that was so crazy that they actually did that. And
I forgot the other game's kind of, I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. Diablo 4?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they have gameplay of that already.
And Diablo, whatever the mobile one's going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what that is actually going to be.
They announced the mobile one like a year before Diablo 4.
It was the biggest disappointment of the BlizzCon that year.
Yes.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
All right, we should probably wrap it up. We're gone way long.
Okay.
So, famous last words.
I went first last time. Actually, right. Like the last four times.
I'll go first this time.
Okay, go for it.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Gotta catch a ball. Pokemon.
Should I just put in parentheses that Anthony is shaking his head?
Insert Anthony's final words here.